This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church this morning. We're so glad that you're here, and I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome and have an opportunity to meet the friends sitting around you this morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to our district superintendent, Reverend Scott Allridge, who is here this morning. He will be convening our charge conference today at 1 o'clock, and everyone is invited to come to that, and a lunch will be provided, so we'd love for you to come back for that gathering of our congregation. Everybody who's here this morning is invited to sign in on the registration pads. I hope they are making their way down the row and back again. And if you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation and our ministries, we'd love for you to sign in as well. And out in the Reed Hall, which is just out this door after the service, we would love for you to come and talk with some of our Andrew ministers. They'll have blue name tags on. They can. There's actually a tour of the building today at 9:30 if you gather at the welcome desk. And they have all sorts of information for you to help you understand how we are trying to live out Christ's love in our world. Also in Reed Hall this morning is a table. If you have brought your estimate of giving card today, you can place it in the offering plate at that time in the service or take it out to the giving table in Reed Hall. And we are hoping that by the end of today, we'll have at least 400 estimates of giving because we want everybody to participate and we encourage you to do that. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Teze service of contemplative worship. And we hope that you'll come back for that time together. This Wednesday, we will have no Wednesday night supper or choirs or programming because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And then on December 3rd, our season of Advent begins, which is a wonderful season in the life of our congregation. On the 3rd of December, we have our Advent wreath-making workshop at 4 o'clock. That's for everybody, and it's especially great for children. The choir will then sing the Christmas oratorio at 5 o'clock, and dinner will be served from 5:30 to 7:30, so you can pick and choose how you'd like to arrange your evening and what's best for you on that night. We have many opportunities to give during Advent. A lot of those details are in the insert in your bulletin, so I won't repeat those this morning, but invite you to consider how you might give to some of the children in our community. As we make our way toward Advent, we are making our way through the 25th chapter of Matthew. And this morning we hear the parable of the talents, which is a challenging parable for those of us who seek to follow Christ. So let us open our hearts and minds to this story and to the Christ who calls us to faithfulness today.
Thank you. The time for the harvest is close at hand. What have you done with the gifts God has given you? Praise God for the gifts and for opportunities for service that they represent.
We praise God for all the ways in which our lives have been blessed.
Generous God, accept our gifts and our lives this day.
Loving God, accept our praises and gratitude. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God not only desires our repentance, but longs to offer us forgiveness. Confident in God's mercies, let us confess our sin. Lord of mercy and justice, you have given us so many talents and gifts to be used in your world. You have given us these gifts because you trust us to use them well, and you promise to be with us in all our work. But we disappoint you when we denigrate the value of the talents or become so fearful of failure that we don't believe we are capable of helping in this world. Lord, forgive us. Help us to trust in gifts you have given us and trust in your guidance when we use them. Forgive us when we are fearful, stubborn, apathetic, indifferent to the needs around us. Give us hearts for serving you in all our days. Amen. Rejoice and celebrate. God has placed God's trust and love deep within your hearts. You have been called and trusted to serve God. Alleluia. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today.
Amen.
For it is if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. And in the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying,
Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.
His master said to him,
Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying,
Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents.
And his master said to him,
Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying,
Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, how was yours?
But his master replied,
You wicked and lazy slave, You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Grown-ups are being seated. Love for all the children to come forward this morning. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a mom who was going to be running errands all day Saturday. Do any of you have parents who say, "I'm going to go run errands"? Probably meant she was going to go to the grocery store, maybe go to the Walgreens to pick up some medicine. She had a lot of things to do. And she had 3 children. 2 of them were teenagers, and 1 of them was 8 years old. So they were old enough to stay by themselves for the day. So she told one of the children, "I want you to fold all the laundry and put it away." She told her 2nd child, "I want you to dust the whole house and make sure it's all clean." And she told the 3rd child, "I want you to vacuum your room and pick up your room." So she went away and did those errands and came back about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and her 1st child had folded all the laundry and put it away. And she gave her a big hug and said, "Thank you. I'm so excited you did what I asked you to do." And the 2nd child did what he was supposed to do. He dusted the whole house and everything looked so clean, and she got so excited and gave him a big hug and said, "Thank you." And then she couldn't find her 3rd child. And she went and knocked on his bedroom door, and his room was a mess, and he was sitting there playing on his iPad. And she said, "I asked you to clean your room. Why didn't you do it?" And he said, "Well, it's my room. I don't care what you say. It can be messy if I want it to be." And she was really disappointed. And she said, "You know, I wanted the whole house to be clean because we've invited a bunch of people to come over tonight for a party. And some of them are your friends, and I thought they would want to be in your room for a while. But I guess they can't because your room is a mess." And then he felt really bad because he didn't do what his mom asked him to do. And then the party wasn't going to be quite as much fun for him. It's kind of like this story Jesus just told. God gives us things to do because God wants us to participate in the fun that God has for us. So let's remember that and do everything we can to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Let's pray. Gracious God, you give us all work to do in your world, ways that we can love and serve others. Help us to join you in that good work out of joy and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all. You can return to your seats with your parents, grandparents, or friends. I want to say a word of thanks to our readers this morning. David Bone was listed in the bulletin, but we didn't get all the names listed. We had Kirk McNeil as our narrator, then Hannah Fletcher Page as the one with 5 talents. John McGuire had 2 talents, and poor Elizabeth McGuire only had 1 talent and got fussed at. But I feel even worse for David Bone, who had to speak that last line. "For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But to those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. That is a tough line to say and a hard one to understand. Is Jesus saying that the rich will only get richer and the poor will get poorer? Is Jesus okay with the widening gap between those who have and those who have not? If we spent any time with Jesus at all, I think we know that that's not true. Jesus, who said, "Blessed are the poor." Jesus, who was always turning everything upside down, "The last shall be first and the first shall be last." Jesus, who was always issuing warnings to those of us who have wealth to be careful not to put our faith in our wealth. So I don't think Jesus is saying to all those who have all sorts of material goods, "You'll be given more." No, he's talking about something else. To those who have blank. How do we fill in that blank? To those who have blank, more will be given. And to those who have no blank, even what you have will be taken away. Well, I think if we want to fill in the blanks, we've got to look carefully at this parable. Because we have the three servants, two of them have it, and one of them does not have it. So what is it that we're talking about? Well, as we begin this parable, I think it's important to acknowledge that all of this language around master and slave or master and servant is troubling for us, and it's difficult for us to enter into this parable sometimes because of that. And I think it's important to acknowledge that given our history as a country and given the practice of slavery and servanthood across the world, it should trouble us. But Jesus is using examples from his day to try to make a point, and he's using something everyone in his audience would have understood. So for the sake of the sermon this morning, I'm going to use the language that Jesus used, acknowledging that it does trouble us, as it should. But we have this man who is a landowner, a wealthy man, and he's going to go away on a trip for a long time. And so he calls his servants in to see him. And the story says he entrusted all of his property to them. That's huge. He entrusted them with everything he had. And it was not a small amount of treasure. You may remember talking about talents
to make
before.
A point.
A talent,
and he's using
is an amount of money.
Everyone in his
Jesus
audience
day.
Would have understood.
And it was equal to 15
years. So for the sake
of
the sermon this morning, I'm
going
to use the language that Jesus
so
used.
So the first servant is given 5 talents, 75 years worth of wages. This man is entrusting all of this to these three people. It is a relationship, he hopes, of trust and loyalty. And he gives the second servant 2 talents, also a whole lot of money. And these first two respond to this incredible trust and this incredible responsibility with loyalty and excitement. They realize what their master has given them, and so they work hard for his sake, and everything they do is for him. And so when he comes back after his long journey, each of them has doubled what he gave them, which is an enormous return on their investment. They've been working hard. And when they go in to see him, they are excited to show him what they have done for him. Like a child excited to show their parent a beautiful drawing they have made. "Look, you gave me 5, and I have made 5 more. Here, it's yours." They understand that they are the stewards of their master's treasure. Their job is to take care of it, to do their best with it, and always to remember to whom it belongs. And joyfully to return it to him when he returns. And he rewards them and praises them, and he says this amazing thing: "Enter into the joy of your master." It sounds to me like he changes the relationship. It's no longer master and slave. They are now in a mutual relationship of love and joy and respect. Everything he has is theirs, and everything they have is his. And together they have this joyful, mutual relationship. And then there's servant number three. What's going on with this guy? He is given one talent, which is no small potatoes. Remember, this is 15 years worth of wages. And what does he do with it? He buries it in the ground. I found myself wondering this week, I never thought about it before, but what was he doing all that time? If he wasn't working with the talent his master gave him, what was he doing all those years that his master was away? I guess he was just living for himself. He takes what the master has given him, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. It belongs to the master. I don't have anything to do with it. It's not my responsibility. I'm just going to put it in the ground and go live my life. Which is all fine and good until the master returns for an accounting. And he takes that talent out of the ground, and he gives it back to his master. And in this moment, we find out the difference between his relationship with his master and servants number one and two. This is not a relationship of mutual trust and joy. The servant says to his master, "I knew that you were a harsh man who reaps where you did not sow and gathers seed where you did not plant them." What? Where did he get this idea of his master who has entrusted him with one talent and asked him to do something with it? Somewhere along the way, he got in his mind that it was not right for his master to expect anything from him. He had it in his mind that if he worked with this talent and it doubled it or increased its value, then whatever he earned above that one talent should be his. That the master would take away what he had worked hard to earn and increase. For him, it's all about ownership and not about stewardship. And it makes all the difference. When he says to the master, "You are a harsh man, you were going to take whatever I earned on it, so I just buried it in the ground," the master rejects him. This is not the kind of relationship he was invited into. And now he's missed out on the great party, on entering into the joy of his master. So how do we fill in that blank? What is it that these first two servants have that servant number three doesn't? If I had to fill in the blank, I would say, for those who have faith, what they have will increase. For those who love God, their love for God will increase. For those who are in right relationship with God and understand that everything they have is a gift to be a steward of for the sake of God and for the sake of the kingdom, then all of that joy and purpose will increase in their lives. For those who have no faith, for those who don't trust in God, for those who don't accept the role of steward and rather want to be owner, even what they have will be taken away and they'll be left with no meaning and no purpose and without that love and joy in their lives. We are called to be stewards of all that God has given to us. It's been that way from the very beginning. In the story of creation, God told Adam and Eve, "Take care of the garden, till it. I want you to be my partners in caring for this." When God led the people of Israel into the promised land, God said, "Remember, this is land that you did not sow, and these are houses you did not build. So remember that you are stewards of this, and you do not own this land." We are called in every aspect of our lives to see ourselves as stewards. So with our money, it's not ours, it's God's. You know, this is the Sunday when we are hoping everyone will turn in their estimate of giving cards. And so we're thinking about our giving for next year. And you know, it's funny, David and I practice tithing. But even in that, there's a trap. We can believe that, well, we give 10% of our income away to the work of the kingdom, but the other 90% is mine. Well, mine and David's, we share. But I get to say what I want to, I get to do what I want to with it. Not according to this parable. According to this parable, all of it belongs to God. And whatever decisions we make about how we use our money, how we spend our money, is to be made in reference to God and in prayer, because it all belongs to God, and we are only stewards of it. Those of us who are parents, our children have been placed in our lives on loan. We are stewards of their lives, and our job is to do the best we can to lead them in the path of righteousness and to hope that their relationship with God will flourish. But they belong to God. And every time they make a goal on the soccer field, hey, it's not my goal. It's not my life to manage and control. They belong to God. The earth is a gift from God. We are called to be stewards of this beautiful creation. And how often do we as a human race think we are owners of it and we get to use it up for our own purposes until it's no good anymore? Now, we in the church, if we are disciples of Christ, know that we're called to be stewards. And we need to be doing everything we can to take care and advocate for the good of our earth. It's true in every aspect of our lives. As we move toward Thanksgiving this week, we're all mindful of the many blessings we have been given. And the question is, will we see ourselves as stewards of those blessings, holding them lightly, doing everything we can to increase blessing in the world, so that we can say to God, look, it's all yours. We have done all of this with joy. Or will we hoard our blessings and keep them to ourselves like servant number 3? In this parable is once again an invitation to be stewards, and may we enter into the joy of our master as we do all that we can to be faithful servants. Every week we have an opportunity to affirm our faith in a good and generous God who has placed in our hands many blessings, and our affirmation of faith is one of the ways that we declare our obedience and our faithfulness to this good and generous God. So I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to page 883 in your hymnals if you need it, and let's join together in affirming our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we continue to come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card that's in the pew rack in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or if it should remain confidential. And please place your communication, your email, if you would like for us to talk to you. We offer our sympathies to Bill and Sally Norton and their family, who are mourning the death of Bill's mother, Adeline Gregory Norton, who died Monday, November 13th in Gainesville, Georgia. Services were held there on Sunday. And we extend our sympathies to Elizabeth Fox and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother, Patty Lester, who died Friday, November the 17th in Nashville, Tennessee. Services will be held here at West End on Tuesday, November the 21st at 12 p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service from 10 a.m. to noon in Reed Hall. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of all the changing world, we pray on this November morning for your guidance. The leaves have begun to clatter on their branches, clinging to their summer hold, yet gazing earthward, amorous of the ground below and its quiet embrace. Jesus asks, "Do you love me more than these?" And we cling to our false sense of control and fears, instead of trusting that when we fall, you will catch us. We feel the same tinge when dusk falls so early. We cling to the sparkling day we have loved so much, yet lean in toward the beckoning twilight and the open arms of sacred night. O God, who has given us the heart to feel it all, guide us through our own changing season. We are about to release our hold on one thing and reach with all hope toward another. Help us to use our gifts to bring about your coming kingdom in our governments, our economies, our real world choices, our moral opportunities. Be with those who are hurting in our world, especially those who have experienced recent natural disaster, those affected by drought, hurricane, earthquakes, and mudslides. We are at the turning point, and we pray, O loving God, that you will catch us as we fall. Hold us, help us, remind us of all we bring to this life, and all that is within our power still to become. Give us strong voice to speak the words that you have written on our hearts. Give us strength to hold high the light that you have put into our hands. Give us the desire to participate with your kingdom as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Because God has given us a great banquet, let our thanksgiving overflow with joyous giving for the sake of others.
Good morning. When I graduated from college, my parents, and especially my father, gave me plenty of good advice. One piece of advice that my dad gave me was to grow strong roots. He said, grow roots in your community, your profession, and most importantly, in your faith and church. He said, those roots will support you when you need them the most. After college, I moved to Nashville in 1979, where my sister Diane, a recent graduate of Vanderbilt Divinity School, advised me to come to West End, where with Russ Monfort's preaching and Don Marler's music, would be a good match for me. Diane would later follow me to West End as associate minister here with Russ Monfort. 38 years later, my roots have grown deep here. Those roots have supported Peggy and me to raise our four children, helping with baptisms, weddings, and funerals, just to name a few. So when my daughter, young Carly, was very young, she would ask as we drove past all the churches, why do we drive past these churches? And I said, because West End is where our roots are. We've been fortunate to have been supported through those happy and sad times, and growing our roots has required both our gifts and our time for them to be strong. Shortly after joining West End, I attended a group study called Gifts and Talents, which is similar to what West End 101 is today, where I learned how to best use my talents to help support West End. I've served as a trustee and on various committees, and I continue to work with the trustees, and I'm currently serving my last year on the Finance Committee. West End has grown a lot in my 38 years here, but it is in constant need of our support so it can continue to have strong roots in our community. Our budget next year is almost $2.6 million. It's watched and closely monitored by the Finance Committee and also our very capable staff here at West End. I hope you were able to attend the town hall Carol started this year to hear how West End operates, how it operates the ministry table, its children and youth ministries, its worship and music ministry, the beautiful, wonderful building and grounds that we have here, its outreach and its support of the Methodist Church. And of course, our staff needs our support to continue the wonderful history and work of West End. Many of you have very deep roots here, much deeper than mine, while others are just starting to grow your roots. This is a time to fertilize them so you can be supportive of others and be supported in your time of need. We're about two-thirds of the way of reaching our goal of 400 individual commitments. Thank you for those that have made your 2018 commitment. And I encourage those of you that haven't to give prayerful consideration today in helping West End by filling out the commitment card in the pews or in the table in Reed Hall or returning the cards you received in the mail. In closing, West End does love and West End does give. And as we finish our faithful giving campaign, I hope you continue to fertilize your roots here so they will be strong and supportive of you. In giving of your gifts and growing your talents, you will receive much more.
Tempe. She is married to Colin, and they have a son named Felix. Jackie was the regional director of external affairs at the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, and she's transferring from the faculty. Next, we have Ashley Darwin. Ashley is an event supervisor with Loveless Events. She's transferring from Madison Street United Methodist Church in Clarksville. And last but not least, Neil Sprinkle. Neil is a PhD student in biomedical science at Vanderbilt University. Jacqueline and Neil, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through
the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Congregation, will you please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jacqueline, Ashley, and Neil are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
And now may we go from this place as thankful people, filled with gratitude for all that God has poured out upon us and ready to share it with all for the sake of God's kingdom, that we may know the joy of God to whom we belong. Amen.